Johnny's just clicked the can and opened it, which used to be telling in the first
years,
when we were sitting next to each other, we had the microphone directly between us.
Yeah.
You used to do that.
Yeah.
It was fun to lean in and do that. And then we got our own microphones.
I didn't want to bring it back because it's admitting that I have a problem and it's come back.
Well, I'll have you know, I've also opened a can. It's early, but I've opened a can because a couple of years ago we did an episode about Dr. Pepper.
I'm still on it. You're still on the pepper. I can't remember what it tastes like. I remember we tried it, but I can't remember what it. Maybe it's time to come to go back to it.
It tastes like cherry cola, but a little less.
Next episode, maybe I'll try and. Well, I don't know how easy it is to come across over here.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I should have to bring some over if I ever come to Ireland.
Yes, if only.
Just buy a whole thing at the airport.
Yeah, who needs Toblerone?
Toblerone is just Dr. Pepper in
solidified.
I'm trying to think of the WandaVision thing.
Oh, love means never having to say you're sorry. Is that it?
Isn't it what is grief if not Agatha all along?
Yes. That was a pretty good show when I was watching it weekly. It was like I was quite obsessed because I used to listen to, well, I still do, but I was listening to the Fat Man Beyond podcast.
No free rides. They got to pay for everything.
And every week they'd deep dive into it and we're like, oh, what's going to happen next week? And, you know, is Mephisto going to be in it? And I was like, this is really interesting shit. And
then Mephisto the Bono character.
Yeah. Yeah. And then nothing like that happened in it. But that was the only good Marvel TV show, really.
Well, Hawkeye had some moments.
Did it?
Yeah.
See, if I had... If I had the time...
She was good.
I mean, I do have the times, but if I made the decision to go back over any Marvel TV show, it would probably be WandaVision.
Okay.
Out of all of them. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
We enjoyed Loki season one. We thought the direction was pretty good. And the director of that should definitely go on to be making the Sims movie with Margot Robbie. And we're fans of Kate Herron on this podcast, right?
Yeah. And the finale.
She's got Wikipedia now.
Ooh.
I was going through people I know who's got Wikipedia, so it's quite fun.
Well, the Prince Andrew Newsnight scandal has got its own Wikipedia page, I found out today, because I was watching a film.
A film or a content?
Both. Bit of both.
A bit of both.
Yeah, I had it queued up. I was like, maybe I'll watch this Newsnight interview, because I never watched it. So I watched Scoop about the Newsnight interview. And I was like, maybe I'll watch the interview itself after watching the film. And then the end of the film really put me off.
Was it easy to find?
Yeah, it was. I put into a BBC iPlayer Newsnight Andrew and it came up.
That will change when I get on there.
Yes, that will change when you get on there. Yeah.
Now, previous guests on this podcast feed, although not that it's actual show, Darren Ealy has been on Newsnight. In fact, closed off Newsnight once.
Ah, yes.
That was exciting to see. To watch him talk
about things. See friends on TV.
Do that. Yeah, it was. It is. Yeah. It is. I like when.
And it's always on TV. Yeah. Reruns, eh? Anyway.
Wow. Anyway, we're going to talk about someone, a film starring someone else who closed off Newsnight quite famously last year. Yeah. But we'll get to that soon, because my name is Andrew Jones, and unlike all this television conversation, I'm a cinephile.
And I'm Johnny Ellis, and I am movie mad. Maybe not for Scoop, but I'm movie mad.
Are you movie mad for Scoop, the 2006, I think, Woody Allen motion picture?
Probably more movie mad for that than I was for Scoop, the Netflix film.
I tried to watch one that premiered on the BBC and gave up after 10 minutes, and I'm like, yep, this is bad.
Does that Scoop end with...
Again, didn't make it through 10 minutes. I wouldn't know. I assume based on Woody Allen, it ends on whoever was the oldest person in the cast falling in love in a happy relationship with the youngest person in the cast.
Did you know he's announced he's retiring, apparently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rifkin's Festival and then
to care, I think.
Was meant to be his last film. Then he made one film in France with French people who were willing to work with him. because of course they are. They support their own Polanski.
I was listening to a podcast where someone was saying about his announced his retirement.
The French.
And the co-host was like, he's still making films.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember.
That sounds like someone who didn't see Rifkin's Festival.
I remember Irrational Man.
Yes.
The last one I watched, I think. And I quite enjoyed that. I think I gave that 5 stars at the time.
I know, you kept talking about that.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
I am very biased towards one of the cast members, though. Mr. Joaquin Phoenix. Of course. I mean, who isn't? Because he is Johnny Cash. He's my Johnny Cash. And he's yours Johnny Cash. He's everyone's Johnny Cash.
The movie Rifkin's Festival is about a couple who fall in love while in town for the San Sebastian Film Festival, drawing on the annual event as the backdrop to a romantic comedy.
See, I had a feeling it was a movie, but Rifkin's Festival just sounded like an interesting, like, very niche festival.
Now it's Wallace Shawn as your romantic lead.
Oh, I mean,
I'm gonna get up in Gina Gershon. She likes short little bald guys. You've seen him in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I thought, yes, I've got a chance.
I mean, I'd choose Wallace Shawn over Tom Hanks any day. Who's a romantic lead these days? Tom Hanks is an old romantic lead, I'd say. Who's the romantic lead these days?
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell, yes. I suppose, yeah, he is the new Tom Hanks.
Yes. Anybody but you.
It's weird how that film caught on so much.
You said we get shit. That's me, Wallace Shawn, not liking films. Say anything that character is fine.
But yeah, I only really liked Irrational Man because of Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay. Who was the co-lead in that one?
I want to say Emma Stone.
Yep.
Was it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Yep.
Woody Allen, dangerous artist. Would you say he's the most dangerous artist?
I don't know. Hitler was pretty dangerous.
Wow. George W. Bush was pretty dangerous.
Yeah. True.
But I think the most dangerous artist of all,
right,
was one who didn't work in the painterly arts or the cinematic arts. Art was life. The world, a stage.
And
when he put on his grease paint and he made the world smile with him.
And art was the first half of his name.
I don't know that. I don't know any details. I don't know any details. I have cleansed things from my mind. I'm glad Brian Tyree Henry got a paycheck.
That's
what I say about Godzilla X Kong New Empire as well.
I very nearly went today, and then I remembered, I've got the podcast to record. I don't have to go. And I have to watch 4 movies and a 10-episode TV show that I've got no interest in. I'll get around to it, but I don't need to rush to do it.
Just to watch the new film from the director of Your Next.
Yeah. Oh, I did like Your Next.
No, Your Next and The Guest are great fun times. I mean, The Guest has Lance Reddick doing absolutely astonishing eye work.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. But
let's go back
then after that, he just decided to make fucking Blair Witch and then...
Yeah,
Godzilla and Kongs. Ugh. Ah, why?
Do you really not remember anything about Joker? Are you going to rewatch Joker before Joker 2?
Can I tell you what I remember?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I remember.
Yeah.
Thomas Wayne. Maybe Daddy? Nope. Zorro, the gay blade. Isn't it funny? Because it's the gay one. It's the joke one. It's the one that riffs on things. Gary Glitter song.
Yep. Yeah, that was
singing
a problem.
Singing Sondheim on a Train.
Right.
They did the clowns, remember that? The bros singing Sondheim on a Clowns. How do they know all the words? That seems special.
I never even thought about that.
it was too much. Living in a fridge.
Living in a fridge.
He takes out the thing. He takes out the shelf and then just gets in the fridge.
Right, yeah.
Why? Because it's not? Twisted. What if he's in a relationship with someone, but he never even talked to her?
She's back, apparently, in the sequel.
Domino?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this isn't is wrapping up into Deadpool 3. Deadpool and Wolverine and Arthur Fleck.
Yes. Oh, you do remember his name. Okay, good.
You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. That's the only reason I remember. So that's what I recall.
So what I'm hearing is you're going to rewatch Joker before you go to see Joker for Voila Do.
Wow, you know how to say things. You speak, how you say French?
Oh, oui, oui.
That's what I think this film is going to be.
I like I said, I'm biased. I have to stay on Joaquin's good side for when I inevitably never write my Johnny Cash follow-up biopic.
It's one biographical picture.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not really a follow-up. It's just a great idea on its own.
Spiritual sequel, yes.
Yes.
Like
the Jesus Rolls.
Yes.
A great idea on its own.
So yeah, I have to stay on his good side, so I'm always biased towards Joaquin Phoenix. He can do no wrong. He's never done any wrong. Michael Fassbender's done wrong. I've seen Michael Fassbender films and I've not liked them.
But yes, Joaquin I put Phoenix... £5 on a Michael Fassbender film last year and he did me wrong.
Which Michael Fassbender films did? Oh,
Next
God,
Picture
that one.
Wins.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
I was thinking of The Counselor. I'll never forgive him for that.
Well,
and
now The Counselor is also, as you might know, important because it's Cormac McCarthy. And that wins everything. Even though it's not good, it's Cormac McCarthy. And so it's good to just hang out with Cormac McCarthy.
And song by song, was it?
Song to song.
Song to song.
Song to song.
Yep, I remember sitting through that. I remember nothing from that.
No, you must remember Val Kilmer and a chainsaw on stage.
I absolutely do not.
Okay, well, I'll bring it with me. You can watch it on 4K when I come over.
No. Okay. I'm not doing it again. I will watch Joker again.
The Golden Lion at Venice Film Festival, for goodness sake, that film.
We'll have two screens. You watch Song to Song and I'll watch Joker. Maybe they'll sync up.
Yeah, we'll both be sick and hate art altogether.
So the as we record a few hours ago,
the
Joker Voila Do trailer was released. I've watched it twice now. How many times have you watched it? Are you watching it right now? Are you playing it in your head?
I'm playing it in my head. What happens is Fleck gets enough money after whatever happened at the end of the first film.
Right.
To buy a fridge freezer set. And he's like, oh, wonderful. And he starts getting into his fridge. And he notices there's room in the freezer for another. And he goes and finds, as a quote Sam Elliott, a Lady Gaga to help him out.
Yeah, who is another patient at his hospital, according to the trailer, which isn't the Harley Quinn origin story.
The OG stuff is she is Dr. Harley Quinzel.
Yeah, so I'm quite intrigued.
But this is, of course, twisted and wild anarchy.
Yeah, the whole trailer I was watching, I was like, I don't think any of this actually happens. And I think the whole film is just going to be him sat in a room rocking. And it's all going on in his head.
And right at the end, you hear a tick, and then John Hamm goes, huh, he looked at me. They don't usually do that. That is the end of Sucker Punch, a film I want to see at the IMAX because John Hamm was in it.
I should remember that. That was my first film. That was my first Blu-ray, and I believe it was the first film I watched when I moved in to Ireland.
But you shouldn't have watched it because it's not done yet.
It's not done yet.
No, Zack Snyder wants another chance at it.
I mean,
he's got all the material.
Yep.
And he's like, well, they didn't let me. Yeah, I had a director's cut, an extended cut, and final cut of this one, but Warner Brothers didn't let me have what I wanted. I want it now.
Was Justice League the Zack Snyder cut? Was that an actual success?
I do not know.
I'd be curious because like
numbers don't really inform you about anything.
Yeah.
But that's what you do have to know is Warner Brothers is not exactly healthy. They don't know what they're doing with material. So who knows? Because corporations are destructive to art.
Yeah.
Who else is destructive to art?
Joker.
Todd Phillips.
Oh, Todd Phillips, yeah. Who I believe might be my most watched director this year. By the end of the year. I mean, he's already my most watched director at the moment. Because I
just plowing through old school.
I didn't even watch old trip. School. I did...
Starsky and Hutch, School for Scoundrels.
See, every time I think of a new film, I'm like, oh, he directed that as well. Yep, he's definitely going to be my... Because I did the three Hangover movies, and I did Due Date.
War Dogs.
In quick succession. And then I know I've got Joker and Joker Foi La Due to come this year. I'm going to be rewatching Joker and going to see Joker Foi La Due maybe more than once. Who knows?
And you're going to watch Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies documentary he made in film school.
I might just do that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to inevitably
cutting become wrists, my... shitting on stage.
I don't like the fact that he's going to be my most watched director, but I can't make an active decision to, like, I can't go, well, I'm going to watch all these films by this director, so, you know, I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I just hear you talking about Todd Phillips films and they shut off.
All right, well, let's talk about what we're going to watch today.
No, what I want to know is, because I have not watched the trailer,
okay,
give me 5 moments from the trailer that you think are going to be important.
I thought you actually had watched the trailer.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm not giving it my airtime. My life does not revolve around Todd Phillips.
Okay, so there's a shot in the trailer which I remember I'd seen BTS footage. BTS are in this film.
Oh, 7.
How do you know there's 7 members of BTS? Who fucking knows that?
I don't know every single one's name, but I know how many there are, because I went to see Tenacious D at the same time they were playing at Wembley, and Tenacious D were playing Wembley Arena, but BTS played Wembley Stadium.
Oh.
And so we all came out at the same time, and it was a weird collection of walking to the station, and
brilliant,
the angry heavy metal heads trying to goat up the pop fans. Don't do that. We just went to see a comedy show.
So how many moments did you need? Sorry, 5, was it?
5. I want to have the 5 greatest rundowns from the Joker for the new trailer.
All right, I know what number 1 is, so we'll save that for last. I already mentioned it before we started recording, and then that's what cottoned me onto the fact that, oh, maybe he hasn't seen the trailer. Or maybe he's just, this is his bit, you know, yes and. Or maybe, rather, no and, because you were saying no, you hadn't. Anyway, what do we get? We get his first look at Lady Gaga in the role of Harlene Quinzel.
Lady Gaga.
She is in some sort of choir in another room. They're singing a song, and he kind of looks through the door and sees her, and they clock each other. So, and she looks like, she doesn't look like she works there. She's in the choir with the other inmates of Arkham Asylum.
What song?
You don't get to hear what song.
There's at least 15 covers. We want to know which songs they're going to be.
Yeah, no, you don't get any sense of any songs.
The only song that, the fact that it's a musical.
They don't hide the fact that it's a musical. It does look very fantastical, and like, you know, they were
Wonka looked fantastical, and then people were like, but it's a musical.
No, I think this is, I think this, it shows that it's a musical without showing the musical number. It shows the set pieces of the numbers, you know, because like each time they show a different scene or sequence, it's like, this is all happening in his head. I don't think he's going to get out. You know, I can't see a way for him to get out of Arkham Asylum. There was one moment where he's sat in...
Well, they need to get the key, the map. Scott Glenn's going to explain to them. I've just told you all this. What if Todd Phillips is remaking Sucker Punch?
There's another moment... well, before we get to that moment... Oh, so we have him clocking Lady Gaga in the choir. And a little bit later, yeah, Lady Gaga's at the end of a corridor, yeah, and she's looking at him, and she puts her hand to her head in a gun, you know, shaped like a gun, and clicks it and kind of, you know, does that whole little...
Is there like a special effect thing happen, and it's just like Scott Pilgrim?
No. Oh, that would be good. He missed the trick.
A trick. Well, they got time.
Yeah, they do. So, yeah, that's moment number 2. Moment number 3 is...
Oh, no, sorry, that would be moment number 4 that we're counting down.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Moment number 3 is they are sat together in a... like, watching a movie.
Who are?
Like, sorry, Joker and Harley.
Oh, no, sorry, I was doing my Al Pacino impression.
They're sat together watching some sort of movie in the prison. And she kind of, there's a shot of their legs, and she kind of goes to reach out for his leg and touch it, but then she stops herself. But then turns to a shot of her turning to him and saying, hey, do you want to get out of here? But all I'm wondering is what movie they're watching in the prison.
What if they're watching Lego Batman?
That's three. Two, there's number two I'd go for. There's a shot with like a late night show, sort of like the one that he was on with
Mark Maron as producer.
Murray. And it's, I think it was called something like Joker and Harley Quinn show or something, the Joker show. And it,
do you reckon Mark Maron is back as a producer of that show?
I don't think...
I don't like what you did here, but I respect you and your guys. So are we cool?
Like I said, I don't think anything that's actually happening outside the prison. I think it's all fantastical in his head, and I don't think Mark Maron's in his head. And then
no,
number one,
that Mark Maron is in everyone's head. He lives rent-free at the cat ranch of our mind.
Number one moment, which is the tail end of the...
number one.
And it is, it does look gorgeous, the way it's framed and shot, and oh, it's lovely. It's a, it's like an interview, you know, it's like not an interview, with the glass in front of him, visitors thing, yeah?
Yep, gotcha, yep. When they go and see the person, they got to have the phone on the thing, and they do the thing, and then Paddington's found his friends there, and he's showing him Knuckles McGinty as his new best friend.
Yes, exactly.
George Paddington 2, that's a much better film than Joker 2.
Voila Duke, please.
I don't respect the title, I don't respect the French.
So there's a shot of Arthur behind the glass, and it's clearly Lady Gaga on the other side, and she's drawn a little smile on the glass with lipstick or something, red lipstick, and she says something like, "I want to see the real you," and then he doesn't purposely lean into it, like it doesn't look like he's doing it for the shot. It looks like it's just luck. I mean, obviously it's not, but you know, he makes it look like he's not hitting a mark. And he smiles, and the red mark covers his smile like perfectly. I mean, it looks gorgeous, and I can't wait for it because it comes out on my birthday month, a couple 2 weeks before my birthday, but still, I'm excited.
Looks don't mean all in cinema.
I know, yeah. But
it's also good to have a decent script.
Yeah, I can't tell what the fucking story is.
It's a love story.
It bothers me
from
that...
the twisted mind of the creator of fucking Due Date.
It bothers me that that Harley Quinn seems to be a patient and not the Dr. Harleen Quinzel, because I don't know. I'm open to the interpretation, and I love a good musical. I'm hoping Pierce Brosnan pops in for a solo. That's what we hope for all musicals. And that there's at least one number by a cat, which is what we hope for all musicals. And
everybody wants to be a cat.
Not that kind of cat. Cat's cat. Taylor Swift is a cat. Bring her back.
My Pierce Brosnan is Gus the Theatre Cat.
Ooh. Well, no, Gus the Theatre Cat is a Timothy Broadbent. He's Buster for Jones. Do apologise, I'm getting my cats mixed up here.
that's in the normal realm of cats. This is the crazy and twisted world of Joker and Folie à Deux.
Are you really? You're going to go
follow?
See it,
I right? Don't. Am I getting no?
Oh.
I was so fucking angry during that first one. It's like, what are we doing? I hate everything. This is making me despise all art. Which was then, you know, culminated by going to see The Lighthouse a couple of weeks later and going, like, "Yep, art is dead. Cinema is gone." Yeah. And then, of course, the pandemic came and cinema was gone. Art was dead.
Yeah, but The Lighthouse is A24. Joker, Voila Deux, is an A24, you know. But from what I see of this, I have no idea what this is about. Ringer.
Yeah.
Sounds like, well, I think boxing ring, but can't be because they're wearing like bibs. Is it like a race? Yeah, it's a race. Is it a rat race?
It's not rat race.
No,
it's important to think it's a rat race.
if you believe hard enough, every film is rat race.
Every film can end with a Smash Mouth concert.
Yes, that's how Joker Falado is going to end. I don't. It must be about a 100-meter race, or what's the other one where you go around the whole track a couple of times? Is that 400 meters? No.
Well, 400 meters is around. It's one lap.
One lap. What's the
1,000? 2,000?
Mm. Or it could be the hurdles. The marathon one where you hand the batons over.
Relay.
Relay. That's that's what I said.
Well, the first two letters, I think it says a lot in a word that I'm presuming comes up way more times than I remember in this film.
Okay.
Re something.
Sorry? The something.
No, re something.
Redo. Oh, okay, right.
When you want your things not to burn, they are flame something.
Yeah.
Okay. This was on Disney Plus when Disney Plus finally got the Fox deal going. And I was surprised to ever
Disney
see it
Plus finally got the balls to do so.
And I was surprised to see it pop up on there. Because I thought, oh, that slipped through the net. And as we got planned to do this episode, it suddenly disappeared a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I noticed. And I don't know if that's because they just tried to see if they can sell it to something else for a bit. Or if they went, oh.
Maybe they're putting it in the double Song of the South.
Yeah, it's locked in the Disney vault for a big eventual
introducing
20th anniversary release next year.
Introducing Disney's questionable Disney box set.
Oh, well, there's a lot of films that are questionable.
Yeah, it's going to be a big box set.
Yes. Are any of them good?
Is this good? I have no idea what to expect. Johnny Knoxville and Brian Cox. Possibly racing. It looks like a racetrack. Is it Fast Girls? Was it 1, 2, 3, 4? Was it
Fast Girls? Was the film that Clark tried to make during the Oscar release during the Olympics, and then there was like, oh no, yeah, actually, we have a system where you can't do that. So Brave had to be released a little later over here because it was featured archery, and that had to be released before the Olympics.
Really? What? Hold on. Wait. What? Is that an actual thing?
That's a thing.
I'm sorry. I've never heard about this before.
The Olympic Committee have like a copyright or something about sports during a certain period where you can't do things in the country.
What?
It's fucking atrocious.
Hold on, in the country, so...
I think it's in the country, just in the country of it.
Huh?
In the country where they're hosting.
Yeah, where they're hosting. Okay, so... Because London hosted the Olympics when Brave was coming out?
Yeah. So I did go and see Brave at an early screening, but they had to then wait until just after the Olympics to release?
I am flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted.
Did you know also that they had to rename a bunch of places for the period of the Olympics because they couldn't be corporate sponsored places because of all of these sponsors in place already at the Olympics, which is why the O2 Arena was changed for a bit.
I don't remember this, but that makes a bit more sense.
It was fucking wild to get to North Greenwich, and it was for the North Greenwich Arena or whatever they called it for.
Oh, really? I've never heard them talk. Anyone call fucking it the North weird. Greenwich Arena? I thought at first you were saying that they renamed the tube stations or something, which I know is a thing that is often done.
Yeah, they renamed it Alex Cross one week. Charing Cross was renamed Alex Cross for a week.
And I know.
They hoped it would make people go and see Tyler Perry as Alex Cross. But like the poster said, we didn't cross Alex Cross.
I know they did James Bond Street once. And it always bugs me when they do stuff like that, because it's like, I just feel bad for the tourists. Because, like, if I was a tourist coming over to London, right, which I suppose next time I'm over in London, that's what I'll be. But, like, if you're a tourist and you're going to London for your first time, and if it was me, I would be researching the hell out of the place. Like, we're hoping to go to LA together, right? I've been talking about this for about 2 years now, because I'm waiting for the movie critic to be announced, and once the release date's announced, that's when I'm booking the tickets. And I've already been looking at all these places and visualizing how to get from here to there and da, da, da. So I'd be like that with London, and then to get here, and then suddenly they've changed the name of a station to the point where they've renamed it and like put stickers over everything. I'll be annoyed, because it would just throw me off. No? Just me?
Three Olympic venues were temporarily renamed.
Three?
Oh, the O2 Arena became North Greenwich Arena.
Right.
The Sports Direct Arena was just St James's Park. That's how they called it anyway. And the Ricoh Arena, City of Coventry Stadium. Who's going to Coventry for the Olympics?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I just remember my sister lived in Stratford at the time. I wasn't living there at the time, but my sister lived there. And I remember one of her roommates, one of her flatmates, didn't move out, but they left. They went down to like Brighton or somewhere when the Olympics were on to avoid, because they knew it was going to be like really busy, Stratford, because that was where the sort of main one was, right? And the day they got back was the day they started using the stadium, which I always thought was funny. But let's go back to the movie thing, because renaming things for sponsorship deals, I understand that. I'd never heard about this movie rule.
Like, it just seemed to happen during then. I can't seem to find much information, but
that's so strange.
Just
yeah.
Maybe that was just they were just trying to explain why they're releasing it early and it was flopping hard. And then Brave was just, well, we'd like to take our time anyway.
Because yeah, maybe
we like to delay release of Pixar films back then as long as they could.
Mm. So I'm expecting The Ringer to be like Johnny Knoxville's in it. So I'm expecting like pranks of some sort, and maybe it'll be like an actual, you know, story. It's not going to be like
So you're thinking it's going to be like Action Park?
Yes.
The plot, but exactly. There's also the stunts, but it's also bad.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm curious why you've chosen it, and we'll get into that after when we come back, because I'd never heard of this film before. And
I'm sure you'll only think of it later on, going, how did that get through?
Yeah.
How did that get through anything? Apparently this was rated PG in America.
Okay.
What about PG-13? Okay. Just it keeps coming up PG, and I think, like, no, it's a 12A over here.
Yeah.
For crude sexual humour, language, and some drug references.
Is there anything else I need to know going into this, or...?
Well, the film has been given a blessing by the Special Olympics.
Oh. Ha!
We stopped off for ice cream. When the fuck did we get ice cream? I don't... What? These trivia things. I don't even know what that means.
Okay. I don't know about the ice cream. That was a...
During the nighttime scene, when someone drops off other people, when the fact that we get ice cream, you can see Joey Knoxville breaking. Okay.
Oh! Oh, I've seen that bit. I've seen
it's all
that
about
scene.
Ice cream. It's all about ice cream.
I didn't know that this was the film that the scene was. Yeah, okay.
They got their ice cream blessed.
I'm so confused.
I'm confused as well.
Shall we walk hand in hand together?
I want to ask you. I've got other things prepared first.
Okay, right, sorry. I feel like I'm rushing us. I do apologize.
There you are.
Let's take our time. Slow and steady wins the race.
So, yeah, before we start doing the actual episode,
right?
Watching, not because we've been doing the episode for a while now.
Yeah.
I do, because I have this on DVD.
Right.
I do have the old game of here's some trailers.
Okay. I thought you meant the old game, like a PlayStation 2 game had come out for this. Remember when they used to do that?
Yeah, I miss those games. They were bad, but I would rent them.
Yeah. All right, trailer game.
This is DVDs from The Ringer from things from 2005 Fox-related products.
Fox-related products in 2005, you say? Because there's only one film that comes into my head when I think Fox 2005.
Maybe I should specify, maybe it's getting closer to 2006.
Well, there's only one thing when I think of Fox 2006 living in the UK.
Nope.
Oh.
You're wrong.
No.
It's not that.
No.
Good luck on these.
I have no idea.
These.
I'm gonna need all the hints.
Okay.
Starting with the first letter of the title and ending with the last letter.
Right. I'm going to go for what I would venture is the hardest one, because
you know I like hard ones.
This one.
Right.
In the trailer, it told us about with all the clips before Romeo and Juliet, there was. And then
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
Before Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
It was Romeo plus Juliet. Before Romeo and Juliet. It's a love story.
Yes.
Moulin Rouge. No, that was.
It turns out it's from the director of a previous episode, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. That's not going to help you at all.
Yeah, or, no, I.
And the bad guy in this, you have just seen, I believe, as a prince.
Bad guy, I've just seen as a prince.
Yep. Yep, he played that role. I thought he did.
In a TV show or in
a film? In a content.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, not Jesus Christ. This morning.
Yes.
Okay, Rufus Sewell.
Oh, it turns out Superman is in this film.
A Superman. Henry Cavill?
Superman is in this film. And Merlin from The Kingsmen. Tommy Wiseau is in this film.
What? Okay, now you... Now I've got nothing. The Room.
No, Superman and Tommy Wiseau. And Prince Andrew. And Merlin from The Kingsmen.
All in this film. Okay, right. Okay. Superman, Tommy Wiseau.
Because I'm the kind of person who lists the character names and not the actor names.
Brandon Routh, was it? Is that Superman?
That's not Superman.
Alright.
No, I want my Superman.
Tom Welling.
I want my Superman. I want him dark. I want him edgy.
Okay, Henry Cavill. I'm never going to get this.
No, you're not.
All right, go on. Give me the title.
Tristan and Isolde.
Oh, my God. I know the title, but yeah, no, I never would have got that in a million years.
When it started, I was thinking, like, what is this? Then when it came before Romeo and Juliet, I thought, oh, it's that. It's based on the story. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet is based on that.
Did you ever see that?
No.
Did the trailer make you go, maybe
I'll watch it? No, it looked like a boring medieval bullshit.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay.
Speaking of boring medieval bullshit, have you heard about Gladiator 2? I saw articles the other day going, the title for the Gladiator sequel is just being announced. Or like they saw posters of it in CinemaCon. Did you see that?
Is it Mia Maximus Culpa?
No.
That would have been funny.
The poster says...
I don't know what Folia Jew means in Latin. I don't know how to say it.
The poster says Gladiator II. That's the big reveal. But like I saw
like,
multiple...
Like articles. Wink Wink II? Yeah. Or Captain II?
No, Gladiator 2 in Roman numerals. But like that was the big... I saw multiple articles... going on about, Gladiator sequel's just been, you know, title's just been revealed. Someone spotted it, and it's like, it's Gladiator 2. That's what it's called.
Anyway. You know, Ridley Scott made Gladiator and Hannibal in the same year and a bit.
It's like how
technically, so it should have been called Gladiator and then Gladiate Him.
That was perfect. Can we just end the podcast? Is that are you retiring now? Like, that's how long was that in your back pocket, or did that just come into your head?
Well, it comes into my head now. But Gladiator always makes me think of Gladiator. Obviously, can't stop thinking about that. I can't think of Russell Crowe. Not you know.
Can't stop.
Are you not entertained? Nom, 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 nom.
All right, let's go on to trailer number two of...
Trailer number two of three.
Of three. Okay.
This is. I'll give you the easier one, so we end on the hardest one.
Okay.
That was kind of the hardest one, but this one, a box office blockbuster from 2006. One of the first summer movies of the year.
Walk the Line.
Oh. Cancelled director.
Huh? Cancelled director.
Director, following on from two films previous, also directed by a different cancelled director.
Irrational Man?
No.
Cancelled director.
We'll need one of the stars so often about their everything, it seems.
Everywhere, all at once. Any actors?
Yeah, a lot of actors. A lot of actors.
Okay.
Let's go for... Now I'm going to do this one off the top of my head because I'm trying to remember who's in that film.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people. Vinnie Jones.
Is it an Ocean's film?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. It's no, it's X. Oh, it's X-Men. It's X-Men The Last Stand.
There we go.
Yep.
There
yep.
we go.
Easy. I forgot that was directed by someone.
Yeah, is it though?
Directed by blank.
Yeah, that kind of how Brett Ratner's career should be.
Yep.
Right, yeah, a teaser for X-Men The Last Stand, which went on for 2.5 minutes and was really boring, but looked very expensive.
Well, I'm 1 for 2.
Yeah, you're 1 for 2, and this one is a TV show it's advertising. This was one that I thought, why are they doing this?
Entourage?
Not even, no, it's Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Not even relevant as in it's just airing the current season, they're advertising the new season or something.
24.
It's just, hey, here's a show. It's on DVD.
24. 24 was out around then.
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's out around then.
Oh, sorry. It wasn't out around then.
I think it was already done.
Fox. CSI, that ended ages ago, right?
Oh, no.
Grey's Anatomy?
It was on its last season, it seems.
Okay.
But it started in 1998, which is why I was surprised that it seemed to be just mainly saying, hey, look, the first season. But all seasons, but the first season. It's got a cast of young performers who I think almost all of them have been cancelled to some degree or related to cancellation, namely because of the black hole of one of them. One of the actors being such a terrible human being that anyone connected to them. It's just...
What TV show is Epstein in?
Well, close.
Close to Epstein. What TV show is Prince Andrew in? Is it Newsnight?
What if I were to link you sexual assault and Scientology?
Tom Cruise hasn't been cancelled yet. We're waiting and hoping.
That time's coming.
That time's coming. It's going to taint the Tarantino film.
I hear the time is coming. It's coming round then.
Scientology cancelled.
Sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
In prison.
In prison. A Scientologist who's in prison for sexual assault.
Actually got convicted.
Cosby wasn't a Scientologist.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't young in the 90s.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Right. Scientologist. The only other one I can think of is John Travolta, but no, obviously. The only other one I can think of, Leah Remini. She's out and she's
not, she got through, she got out, yeah. She escaped and she's helping others.
She's one of the good ones. And Cheers. Is it Cheers? No, Cheers ended.
No.
I thought you were hinting.
What if I told you it was made in the 90s going into the noughties? It wasn't set then.
Made in the 90s going into the noughties.
But it wasn't not set then.
Not set then.
It wasn't set then. When was this show set? When was this sitcom set? What era?
Happy Days?
No. When you say it, you'll go, oh, it's
this is annoying me now.
It's this show from this era.
The last Scientologist I've got in my head now is Giovanni Ribisi. Is that his name?
That's his name. That's his. Yeah. But that's not the Scientologist we're talking about.
Michael
Peña is a Scientologist. I discovered that a couple of days ago. I was very upset.
Yeah, but he's not arrested.
No, I'm just going through a list of Scientologists and going like, oh, but I like them.
Yeah.
Oh. No, this one.
Oh, that 70s show.
There we go.
Jeez.
Got it.
I've not seen that. It's been on my list to watch, but yeah.
I remember when it was on TV a couple of times, someone tried to watch it. I thought, nope, this isn't funny.
I knew he was arrested. I didn't know he was a Scientologist.
Yep, he's a Scientologist, and the Church of Scientology tried to handle situations, get witnesses to shut up.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Yeah, it was the whole thing, and of course, you know, doesn't make Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis look good, but they're still...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that whole thing. They, like, yeah.
Apparently, Wilma Valderrama is a bit of a bad person as well, so it's basically just Laura Prepon and Topher Grace.
Yeah.
Yay! And Kurt Woodsmith, just, you know, all round bitch's leave.
And that was which one of those is the ringer? Well, shall we go into the ringer? I'm very intrigued. Yes. It must be about Special Olympics. Yeah, it's got to be about Special Olympics. Because they use the R word, so obviously.
Yes, they do. Yeah, I don't remember this, but I'm assuming based on it being 2005, and it's, you know, a film like this. Yes, they do. So, shall we go and see what Disney Plus removed from their collection?
Let's have a look. This show would be nothing without you. I hope you do know that.
Yeah, because I had
to just sit here and look pretty.
The manpower. I'm the obsessive person who does all the weird stuff for the, make the show work. The thing is, watching people have those kind of obsessive compulsions and people just, you know, focusing on one particular thing or avoiding eye contact or maybe seem to be playing around with a bit of texture they most seem to find comfort in. It makes me go, huh, I do all of that. I do all of that. Not just a little bit. I do all of that.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't do, Johnny.
What don't you do?
Athletics.
Yeah.
I can't run.
Not with that attitude.
No, not with the asthma.
So tell me about the first time you saw The Ringer. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Well, you have to understand, the first time I saw The Ringer was opening weekend in the cinema.
Was it a film you were excited to see? Were you looking forward to it?
It got 3 stars from Empire, and I thought, oh, it's probably quite entertaining. I wonder if it's offensive. And I watched it and went, oh. It got close, and then it got sweet.
And so, yeah.
And I also, you know, I was a fan of random moments of Brian Cox doing crazy stuff.
I mean, who isn't?
As a teenager, it's a bit of an odd thing to be.
Yeah.
But as someone who watched Super Troopers a bunch at that point, and then seeing the guy from the start of Super Troopers playing one of the athletes, it's like, so they're not all. Interesting casting choices, some of these.
Yeah. This is a weird one.
Yes. How many times in your counter did you make?
Five.
And is that including all variants?
Yes.
Right, go through those. Don't say those. Go through those.
Yeah. Two times, in quick succession, two times they say the R word without the R-E in front of it.
So it's instead of saying turd, they say a different vowel and use it in a... Was it like when they say monster?
Yeah.
And then the word.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is a weird one. Like, I get what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it had enough heart in it.
What was it trying to do? Because if you're listening to this, we didn't tell the plot at the start.
Yeah.
I wanted Johnny to kind of get the plot going. So, as he watched it going, oh.
It was Johnny Knoxville's working in an office. Don't know, it doesn't really specify what he's actually doing in the office. He wants to get a raise, and then when he goes to get his raise, or to try and get his raise, sat in the office with his boss, where he's sat a lot lower than him, which is great. I like
the boss being like the rich man in Friday Night Lights TV series.
Yeah,
he like owns the half the town kind of guy.
And during that meeting, he finds out that the cleaner's gonna get fired.
Stabby. So
he kind of scraps his whole plan to get a raise, and he goes to say to Stabby, like, oh, you know, you don't like this job, do you? Why don't you leave before you get fired? Whereas if I was Stavi, I'd wait to get fired, because then you get
severance pay.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
sweet severance.
And then he decides, oh, I'll hire Stavi. He'll be my employee. because apparently he's got the money for it, but he doesn't have the money for health insurance for Stanley.
Yeah, he'll give him the 400 a week to do landscaping around the apartment block. But no healthcare, no Medicaid.
And then Stavvy gets his fingers cut off.
And then what? The finger?
In order to pay for the insurance or pay for the operation, $28,000.
Yeah.
Which in today's money is probably $280,000. He goes back to his uncle, Brian Cox, and asks for $1,500 that he lent him years ago.
You should specify that his uncle is not Brian Cox. His uncle is being played by Brian Cox.
Yes.
If he was Brian Cox, he'd be like, money? I've got a lot of money.
True.
I'm rich. I do McDonald's ads in America.
And he asks Brian Cox for $28,000 instead of $1,500. And then Brian Cox comes up with the brilliant idea of, why don't we put you in the Special Olympics?
He also has debts to pay. Brian Cox has debts to pay. And
Why don't we put you in the Special Olympics as a ringer, and you can...
Ringer for a finger?
You can win the Special Olympics and we'll place a bet on you.
Because he ran track in high school.
Yeah.
Even though he hasn't run since. But Brian Cox is like, oh, you can run. You know, we're better than them, I believe was what he said at one point. He literally others these people.
Yep. And Johnny Knox isn't too keen on the idea. He goes along with it until he gets there. And then he's like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it.
And then he becomes Johnny Knox here.
And then he bumps into Katherine Heigl, literally. And
what? Lynn?
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to come to Lynn.
And then he changes his mind because pretty girl. I don't know. This is a weird one. Like,
but you have to understand, Katherine Heigl's character had a brother.
Yeah.
And he was special too, just like you. But then he died.
Yeah.
And now she's got a boyfriend who is actively cheating on her.
Yep, that too.
Get thrown out, and we don't get enough time with actual characters.
That's the thing.
The athletes kind of get short shrift.
Yeah. And if it had swung completely one way or the other, there's two ways to go this. Like, you know, very, very nice way to do it, and thoughtful, right? Or the Farrelly, was it Farrelly Brothers?
Farrelly,
sorry. Or their way of being just disgusting and crude.
But they do that thing where they do, it's disgusting and crude, but we mean well, like Shallow Hal. It's like, we're doing fat jokes, but they're nice at the end.
Yeah.
That's always what Farrelly Brothers try and do. True. Which is why this is produced by them. This is also... Yeah.
But like, if it swung completely the other way, where it's just like plain offensive, at least it would have been.
We'd still be talking about it in a way where you go like, oh my god.
Yeah,
oh
it would have been god. An interesting film to watch in terms of, holy fuck, I can't believe what the hell this
is. You know, Brian Cox would still have done the role.
Yeah. but it didn't. It didn't go completely one way or completely the other. It stayed in the middle, and that hindered it.
Yes.
Because it didn't give you enough.
It touches on a couple of moments. The reveal of the character of the fake athlete's name. Yeah. Full name is.
That was genius. I love that. because it's just played off as, he didn't get his surname. And he's like, well, I don't know if he gave him my actual surname. Because his name is Steve, right?
Yeah.
But Brian Cox gives him the name of Jeffy, and then they ask him, "What's your surname?" And he goes, oh, and he's like, you can see him going, oh, "Fuck, I forgot." He didn't forget. He wasn't told, and he's like, "I don't know what my surname was put down as. It could be my actual surname, or it could be something else." And then Kevin Heigl's character comes in, and she's like, "I know your surname. It's." Oh jeez.
His name is Jeffy.
Dharma. No, it's just brilliant.
You can imagine the Breakout's character being a real shitbird with that kind of thing.
We need more moments like that. Yeah.
Just need more Brian Cox just being skeezy.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't know. This is a very...
It's
I was hoping
avoiding...
for more from it.
Yeah, no, it's one of those ones where it's trying to play it so safe that it doesn't do enough.
Have you seen this since...
And then casts people who maybe shouldn't have been cast in the right places. Which is a shame, because there are people in this who are giving really funny performances.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, let them shine.
Have you seen this since you saw it in the cinema?
I assume I watched it once on DVD when I got the DVD.
Right.
Like a 3 for £15 HMV deal back in the day.
So probably about a good 15 years or so ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 17, 18 years ago.
How do you feel going back over it? Like, did you...
I'm like, yep, there's a reason why I don't remember much of this. Right. I just remember the premise and thinking like, oh, man, no one talks about this film that's got this premise and it should never have been made.
Is that why
you... I just like to bring it up because it's like that's a film that shouldn't exist, and it does exist, and people love Brian Cox now. Let's remind you that this film exists where he forces Johnny Knoxville to enter the Special Olympics and play a differently abled person.
I was saying when about halfway through this, I said I feel like we've started something on this show now, and I think the natural next step is. The film that you, I remember you lent me the DVD. I believe I gave it back to you eventually.
I'm looking at it over here right now. Would you reach out and grab it?
It was, yes, please. I love it when you reach out and grab it. It was, you lent it to me years ago. I think I held on to it for a good long while and it was always on the shelf there. And I was like, I should get around to watching it because the idea and the premise and the whole thing of it just screams it needs to be seen to be believed, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But then you forced me to watch this in the podcast, so
I think we are so cute and cuddly. Don't discriminate against us is what's on the back of this DVD, because I don't actually have any quotes from critics.
I've forgotten the title of it already. What is it?
It's the little things in life that matter is the tagline for Tiptoes. Right.
Tiptoes, that was it. And the whole thing of Tiptoes.
Beckinsale, Patricia Arquette, Matthew McConaughey and Peter Dinklage.
That's all I know is that Peter Dinklage.
86 minutes. Peter Dinklage is his Gary Oldman's French friend, and they're motorbiking across America. And I think Patricia Arquette is like the biker chick that Peter Dinklage picks up.
And Gary Oldman the only actor who's on his knees with shoes on his knees?
Yes, he is. There's a bunch of people of different sizes in this film.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who is of more typical adult size, who is performing
now
in such a way. Now you have to understand that Gary Oldman, Matthew McConaughey, Sahara, The Wedding Planner, and Kate Beckinsale, Underworld, Van Helsing, and the cast including Peter Dinklage, Station Agent, Elf, Patricia Arquette, Lost Highway. But they don't mention anything about Gary Oldman's work here.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman is just he's Gary Oldman. You know Gary Oldman.
Sid and Nancy.
With a sense of humor and a lot of heart, Tiptoes proves that it's the little things in life that matter.
I'm surprised. I think I probably did know that before, but it's sort of I forgot that Peter Dinklage was in it.
That's a real look. It's okay. We've got one.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got one.
Yeah.
Very much so. He says it's okay.
But I'm curious, as the years have gone on, has he ever done any interviews and been called out on it? Going, oh, do you remember when you were in this film? Because I know he had a whole thing about the Snow White film. He came out with a statement or something. Not happy, understandably, not happy with the fact that they weren't using little people in the new Snow White film. Or no, I can't remember. He wasn't happy.
Or the Disney one.
I think the new Disney. Mirror. Yeah, it's coming up. The one that's coming up with
one that's all CGI weird scary things. Yeah. And Zed Zasso, so we stand. You have to remember, but you know, I'm sure his response if anyone asked you about Tiptoes. And, you know, how he feels about that. He goes, I'm a working actor. There wasn't many roles.
Yeah.
I took what I could get, made a bit of money just to survive because people were not offering me things back then. I was not getting roles and I was not being considered for anything that wasn't of a diminished capacity. So I'm going to be doing this until I can be in a fucking Avengers film.
If it hadn't been for Tiptoes, he would never have got Game of Thrones.
Yes, I think Tiptoes led directly to Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I'm sure there was nothing in between.
Nothing in between. Yep.
Didn't he do an episode of 30 Rock?
He might have. And I know he was in Elf as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, so they got that in the back of the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in episode of 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Because she thinks he's a child and she tries to stop help him cross the road.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
The Ringer.
Johnny Knoxville, when he, yeah, because this is Johnny Knoxville more leaning towards the fact that he wants to, you know, he came to Hollywood to be an actor.
Yeah, there wasn't much jackassery going on here.
No, because he was, you know, there were times when he's always tried to establish himself as a thespian as well.
Yeah, true.
Dukes of Hazzard style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
Men
that.
In Black. Remember how many stunts he does in Men in Black 2?
I don't remember him in Men in Black 2.
He's got two heads. He's got two heads in Men in Black 2. How do you not remember
I remember that, but I don't remember him being it.
He is in Men in Black 2 with two heads, and he does not get used very much, and it's very disappointing. If you're a fan of Johnny Knoxville, and you're 12, and you're going to see Men in Black 2, which is based off of a film you love already, and you love the music video and the song for Nod Your Head, Black Suit's Coming. And then you witness that. You go, okay, well, I do have a crush on Rosario Dawson now, but I wish this 80-minute film were longer and better. Prefer it would be better than longer, but both would be better.
Yeah. How do you feel about the length of this one, The Ringer?
I'm fine. I like 95 minutes all in.
95
minutes of credits.
I think 10 minutes chopped off would have been better. Well, actually, maybe, yeah.
I think it's calm. I think the calmness, the sereneness, it's not rushing to anything.
Yeah.
For a film about racing, it's not rushing to anything. It's quite nice.
And I noticed...
50 minutes in? 45 minutes in? They do the moment in which everyone goes, we know you've been faking.
Yeah.
And there's a distinct, they give them back their agency.
There's a lack of background music. There's a few scenes where it kind of...
But there's not really scene incidental music. You don't have that, so it kind of just scenes just play out.
It's still just felt odd. And about halfway through, I mentioned that, like, well, how the fuck are they gonna turn this around? Because once she finds out, when she's got a brother who passed away,
she will go crazy. Right?
Yeah,
she'll go be happy as Jokermite, Gaga. Yes.
I hate. And it all wraps up very quickly. He gives in and he admits it in front of everyone. Gives his third place position to someone who deserves it. And then it cuts to 6 months later and he's helping him with a Romeo and Juliet show.
Before Tristan and Isolde.
Yes. and then they've all his friends of his newfound friends from the Special Olympics have plotted to bring Katherine Heigl to the theatre to show her that that he's not a bad guy and look, he's nice and why don't you kiss him? And it's all quite nice and then suddenly it fucking shocked me.
Yeah, they have a nice kiss, and then it just cuts to directed by.
Yeah, I literally went, what the fuck? Like, they had a little bit in the credits, but it felt like such a stop done. Like, we don't have the budget to continue this on. Why they didn't just put the credit stuff in?
Because you want to have, like, that moment, and then just give Brian Cox a moment of scalping tickets.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, right, can I just bring up the end credit sequence?
Yeah.
Right, so it's two characters on stage doing Romeo and Juliet. I assume this is opening night.
Yeah. Sounds, okay. Looks like it.
The balcony scene is Act 2, Scene 2. I think, don't they usually have, like, five acts?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So that's not... because that's, like, the night after they meet, right? Or the morning after they meet. It's pretty early into the play to just stop entirely and have a dance party for the Special Olympics.
Oh, yeah. I thought that exactly.
Would you be annoyed going to theatre, regional or Broadway, and witnessing within 40 minutes of the play, the actors calling it quits and getting a band on to sing, and everyone just getting up and dancing, and you're like, oh, I'd fancy. I paid $200 a piece for these tickets.
$200
a meal. Well, we talked about a couple of weeks
ago. Is that
what how
Wayne
much it
Cox was charging?
But Before the Devil Knows You're Dead cop prices we're dealing with here. You know, you've got the round trip.
All right. If
you've got the meal, okay. Maybe the hotel.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
Plus $200 per ticket.
Jeez, I forgot about that whole thing.
Yeah. Like I said during the episode, I have a lot of memory of what happened during episodes.
Oh,
I've listened to it a couple of times because editing.
Yeah.
Would you be annoyed or enjoying the fact that suddenly your night at the theatre of questionable content because it's Shakespeare, so boring,
yeah,
you suddenly end up at a dance party? Kind of fun.
I think I'd be
with
happy.
Athletes.
It's a brave choice.
Nowadays, of course, the Stage Writers Guild has a thing in place where once the play is performed, first performed, that kind of locks in after it's done its previews. After its first night, I believe, is it locks in. That's the script. And no amendments can be made to
really?
The words on the page. Now, you can recontextualize it in visual form, however you like, and slow it down or speed it up. But the words must be the words, which is why theatre is the writer's medium. I don't know if they don't have that with Shakespeare, obviously, because that was before and it's now public domain. We could do Shakespeare right now if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't. But what I'm leaning to here is, what if you went to see a show and suddenly they did that and it was To Kill a Mockingbird?
Uh-huh.
Now, would you be the person to call up and say, there's a regional production of, hey, Scott Rudin, turning the volume down. Yeah, okay, so there's a regional production. I know, ow. And, oh, gosh, that assistant sounds like he's getting strangled right now. Okay. Oh, you've thrown something there, haven't you? Right, dance party. Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Calpurnia, yep. Before the shift, never shiver-robed. Didn't even get to a shiver-robing. Nope, no busting up.
How have we come back to this?
I'm shiver obsessed. What would happen? Would you squeal?
I mean, no.
Squeal, no.
but let's go back to that rule of theatre.
Yes.
We're talking a lot about rules because we had a whole discussion
rules are meant to be broken.
That's why Brave should have come out while the Olympics were on. Because I remember going to see, and I believe you went to see, I don't think you stayed for the whole thing, but you went to see, what do you think I'm going to say? Because you walked out of a few things.
If it's a theatre show,
yeah,
it could be so fucking many. I know a friend of mine walked out of Brian Cox the other week.
Oh, really?
First of the 3 hours, and she and her friends just fucked off.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, this is bad. And your old friend Patricia Clarkson.
Didn't really compel them either. we've both seen, or I've seen, and you've seen at least half of Back to the Future, the musical.
I walked out, that was on my birthday a couple of years ago. I walked the fuck out. I got my cup, my merchandise mug, which within a year the picture had basically fallen off.
Jeez.
It's such a cheap mug.
There's a song on there that's on my musical bangers playlist on Spotify.
Yep, it's The Power of Love.
Nope,
and it's a curious thing.
No,
it makes a one man weep.
It works.
And another man sing.
So during that, there's a moment, and you would have seen this bit in the first half, where I believe he's going, we can go forward to this year and that year and this year. And he goes, when I saw it, he probably said, we can go to this date in 2023 or 2022, whenever it was I saw it.
Yeah.
And then he goes, maybe when we're there, when we're in that date, I don't know. He makes some comment about the pandemic or Donald Trump or something. So does that mean that
you say joke, Donald Trump?
Maybe.
is that Donald Trump's son?
Yeah.
He's ginger, he's an ex-machina.
but does that mean that joke can't be
did play Trump. Forgot. Sorry. Oh, shit. yeah.
Can that joke not be rewritten?
I think that's an improv. So they would have put like an improvised moment.
So improv is written in, but then it's not an improv. If you write in an improv,
if you write in the a moment for ad libbing,
yeah, okay,
but you can't suddenly amend. Hey, you know, I want this line to be, yeah, it's the 21st day of September and I killed a man. To be, it's the 28th day of the month and I slashed a tire. Trying to keep it less. I think like, oh no.
I never knew that about theatre. It's quite interesting.
These are things I was learning as I was writing my first play, which is not in production.
But The Ringer. Do you think that would be a good play?
Who did you go? Who was your Doc Brown?
I couldn't tell you.
Was it Roger Bartz?
I think so. Yeah.
Did you go see it on your own?
No, I went with my mum, and my sister was due to come with us, but she didn't come for some reason, so her godmother came along. But yeah.
Fair enough, because I heard things apparently Roger Bart, if women posted about going to see it, he would then slide into their DMs and try and get a hookup out of it.
Oh!
Apparently a couple of people, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah, it put me off him real quickly. It's like, oh no. So whenever he pops up in sitcoms and films, like, you're really talented, Jesus. But that's, don't do it like that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Don't do it like that, man. No.
That's, yeah.
You do it in the hotel afterwards. You hope that they come in or your stage door, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No.
Ugh. Oh, that's left a bad taste in my mouth. Worse than The Ringer.
There are the people out there, you go like, oh, that's how you play it, is it? I won't spoil everybody, but I think that's fine.
Do you think The Ringer would be good on theatre? In a theatre?
Would it be a musical?
Yes.
Okay, then yes, absolutely.
Yes, everything's better if it's a musical.
More time for Uncle Gary?
Yep.
Was that it?
I believe it was.
Yeah, for Uncle Gary to shine.
Yeah.
Of course, Brian Cox would have to reprise.
Yes, yeah.
Because he skeeves so skeezily.
He is a good skeezer. I liked his moustache. Nice movie moustache.
Really chomps the cigar. He's got the movie moustache going on, and the scraggly, the hair that's graying, but it's also got like the mullet look to it, the dark grey kind of dyed but mullet. But yes, that is a person of questionable morality. I love it. He will do things. He shouldn't do things, but he's doing them.
Do you think you'll get round to rewatching The Ringer anytime soon?
No, I think this is the last time in my life I will probably see The Ringer. Are you mad that you watched The Ringer, now not on Disney Plus?
I am slightly mad, yeah. I think I'm with you. This is the last time. But for me, it's going to be the first and last time.
But, I mean, the Jeffrey Dahmer joke.
The Jeffrey Dahmer joke.
And you stopped to get ice cream.
Yeah.
The fuck's the ice cream?
I might watch those two clips.
Those clips were good. It's Harold and Kumar situation. You just want to watch that bit.
Oh,
it works.
Harold and Kumar. I did that not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. It just popped into my head, and I was like, oh, man. And I went on YouTube and found it. Oh, so
left,
good.
Right, long while, step out.
Oh, fuck, just... Oh.
Absurdity, bring absurdity back to comedy. Anyone bring
it? Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, I'd say I'm slightly mad.
Oh, well.
Yes. Unfortunately.
I'm sorry, but I didn't expect you to really. I thought you might just have a nice-ish time, like a pleasant 3-star right in the middle. Like, yeah, it's problematic. It probably shouldn't have been made, but I had a decent enough chill vibe.
What would you give this? I've already got my Letterboxd rating sorted.
I think I gave it like a 7 out of 10 when I went to see it in the cinema.
Wow.
Probably down to a 5 now.
Wow.
I did look. There's something about that era. It's just like it's nothing. It's wallpaper, but it's a comfortable wallpaper. Whereas nowadays, if you made it, it would be digitally shot, so it would look a bit blander. Whereas there, it was warmer and colourful.
I would give this a 2 out of 10. So one and a half out of five, probably a one.
Look, it's got snobs versus slobs. It's got questionable content. It's got a bad person learning to be slightly better. It's got misappropriation of people doing things. Just it's got moments that you're like, oh, that's the story. That's Rodney Dangerfield doing Caddyshack or Back to School. I want that kind of comedy where there's a premise here. Here's something we can all rage against. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
I want films where you're like, ah, that character's not good, but he's better than that person. I want to see him triumph, but also learn a lesson.
Yeah.
A journey for everybody. I like a journey for everybody, but everyone's got to be, oh, our hero has to be perfect. Because if our hero is flawed, the people will go like, oh, no, I don't like the hero because the hero is not good already. What's the fucking journey?
I think it's more the lack of rewatchability for me that really brings it down.
But you've already done the watch. You've already got through the watch.
Yeah.
Which is over.
Gladly. Thankfully.
Hey, it was half an hour short of the Monkey Man.
True. Oh, my God. Yeah, let's not get into Monkey Man.
Well, look, if Death Patel's asking, I'd go into Monkey Man.
Well, how are we going to follow this up? What have we got next?
I don't know. It's the end of April, so next week it's my birthday.
Yes, it is.
I think I deserve a treat. Didn't we do a documentary a couple of years ago about a person who keeps popping up in places wearing makeup?
Yes.
Some sort of folly ado. Well, I want to follow with that.
Okay.
Can we explore since it's your birthday? Like a scary... scary time with a makeup person.
Since it's your birthday, I've got just the thing.
Okay. Thank you.
And it will have an extended celebration.
Yeah.
An extended birthday celebration.
Just one birthday celebration?
No, an extended birthday celebration.
What does that mean?
It's extended so long that it goes into two.
Ah, we're gonna do the deuce.
Do you want to know what it is?
You'll
have to join us next time. But until then, where can we find you?
You're tricking it's going to be content. I'm tricking it's going to be art.
It's going to be art. It's always art. Where can we find you to find your art?
Now you can find my art on Broadway. I've been mentioning Broadway a lot. It's almost like I want to go there. I don't. There's nothing on at the moment.
Yeah.
You can find me, I'm going to look up Real Ethan Runt on Instagram is where I am. I don't remember these things, so I just have to find them.
Fair enough.
And I'm on Letterboxd at Ethan Runt, so you can go and find me there.
But you're not real on Letterboxd.
I'm not real. That's entirely fake. So any review I say is entirely fake. Do not take it for granted. I'm being silly, foolish, and everything I say is wrong.
But that's how we love you. That's how we like you.
People do. Yeah, like is probably where people end up on. They certainly don't love.
Well,
I'm unlovable. What about you?
I was going to say thank you so much for asking. I am at @movie_mad on Instagram, and I believe I'm movie mad, all one word, on Letterboxd. I have to double check. Nope. Wait. Hold on. I don't know. What am I?
I don't know what you are.
I don't know what I am. It just says Johnny Ellis.
What you are?
Where's it? Where's my username on Movie Mad? Yes, I am Movie Mad on Letterboxd. You can find us at @RUMovie_mad on Instagram and Twitter, and @RUMovieMad on Facebook, and @RUMovieMad at hotmail.com. Yes, com.
Because like The Ringer, it was a comedy.
Exactly. Oh, we're plashing next week.
We're hilarious. We're hilarious. Next week.
Yeah. Next.
Next month.
Week after. Yeah. You know what I meant.
I don't know anything about you. I don't know this.
You will next time.
Are You Movie Mad is part of the Podnose Network, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. Produced and edited by Andrew Jones, executive producer George Grimwood. To find out more about Podnose's network, go to www.podnose.com.